on. This thing turned on. Green light. All right. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house. I'm thankful to be saved. Thank you, Brother Joe Bryant, for the good preaching. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sexton, for the opportunity. Matthew chapter number 7. Let's begin reading in verse number 13. Let's stand together, please. Matthew 7, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. My Father, as I come to you this morning, I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful for the call to preach. And Lord, I'm grateful for this opportunity. Lord, I feel mighty small preaching in the presence of these people, and especially these preachers. I pray for your comfort and grace. I pray for your help and power. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us in this day. Thank you for this place, this dear pastor and his family, and his people that labor here. Help me now during this time that you've given me to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to take my text from verse 15. Beware of false prophets. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning. I realize that that is a very common message in our day today. Just some thoughts that the Lord spoke to my heart about yesterday, and studied them some and jotted them down. And so this is kind of a dry run. I don't like to go off somewhere and preach something that I haven't already test driven in my church. But anyway, I'm going to do the best I can, and you pray for me. All right. So if you look at verse number 13 and 14, he's got a multitude standing before him. Our dear Lord does. And he's speaking to these disciples, and he's given them some truth about eternal destiny. Nothing in this life is any more important than the subject of eternal destiny. And so he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And then he says, "Many there be which go in thereat." So the Bible is telling us, our Lord is warning them about the broad way. It is the common way. It is the way which the vast multitudes, being sinners, are traveling this way. And he makes a plea, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so that's a sad report. It's sad in comparison to this world and the multitudes in this world, that there be a few. There's just a minority that have been saved by the grace of God. I got saved in 1975, and I'm not saying that God does not save sinners in 2018. I'm glad He does, and He's still saving sinners. But I'm not only glad to be saved, but I'm glad I got saved when I got saved. And so I was 19 years old, and you know, I'm not one of these fellas that tries to live off the past. But there are memories of the past that gives us encouragement for today and for the future. I realize things are not like they used to be, and that's just a cold, hard facts. I got a preacher friend. He's older than me, but he's got this disease called Meniere's disease, and it has shut him down physically, and he's not able to preach. And so when I call him and check on him, he seems to struggle a lot with depression, and he sees a lot of darkness in the day in which we're living in. And I understand all that, but I can't change a lot of things, but I can keep my own self straight by the grace of God. And I have to assess where I'm at. And the only thing I know to do is to just keep on praying and keep on reading this Bible and keep on preaching and trying to affect people's lives. Amen. I wish we could see a great revival take place in this day. But it is, as Brother Bryant related to, different days. It's dark days and it's troubling days. I don't travel like a lot of you men, but I do go a few places, and it's sad when you go in and the young people of the church are 55 and 60 years old, and the congregation has dropped to 18 and 20, and the young families are gone, and that's plagued all across our countryside. And it's sad in this day. And so I'm thinking, I'm not trying to be a psychoanalyst, but I'm always trying to assess things. What's happened to that strong Holy Ghost power that we used to feel in this day? Well, I feel like there have been tares sown among the wheat. I believe the Bible's warned us about false prophets. I don't think it's just perchance that when the Lord is talking about eternal destiny, at his very next breath, he says, beware of false prophets. Now, false prophets can affect, they can hinder the gospel. They can hinder the church, and they can hinder the pulpit. And so the devil has got his men planted in places that are spreading a false doctrine, and it's affecting our churches today. Here's what he says. He gives us a warning, and he's talking to these disciples. He says, beware of false prophets. Well, as I got to reading that, I get to thinking, well, you know, I don't really have anything to do with Joel Osteen, so I'm not having a problem with him. And then I passed a building out here that said something about Rio. Is that a church or is that a religious organization, I should say? Is that what that is? I don't know what it is. But there's all kinds of weird things going on now.
We've got ponytail preachers preaching in blue jeans, and they've got rock music and the painted ceilings and the strobe lights, and we're all aware of that, what's taking place today. But as I got to reading this, I take it personal. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. I got a feeling that in our fundamental Bible preaching, what we call old-time Christian churches, we got false prophets. Men that have been planted in our circles that are leading us astray. They can influence sinners, but I'm afraid they're affecting us. I'm afraid they're trying to change the definition of being born again and living for God. And they're, if we're not careful, they're going to affect us as preachers. You know, I hear a lot of lingo nowadays that bothers me. A lot of remarks about holy living that really bother me. Men that stand and preach truth. Men get up and make the comments about our meetings and say, you know, I need to hear things besides dress code. And I understand that. So do I. So do I. But if we're not careful, it almost gets to the place that if you preach on anything, you're an elementary preacher that hasn't been studied deep enough to be able to preach the truth. But I'm going to tell you something. If digging in doctrine and deep truths to be able to wow people is going to send me to Applebee's and eat a meal in front of an open bar, then excuse me. Oh, did I hit a tree stump right there. Because I remember the day when us preachers were on the radio trying to preach against the beer votes in our little towns. But now we're patronizing the bars. Man, have I hit a flat tire or what? Somebody get a Ford or something and pull me out. I tell you, we've lost our whole character about holy living. I mean, if you go to a preacher's fellowship and they're going to serve a meal afterward, if you would like to have a whole table by yourself, all you have to do is say something about ladies wearing pants. That's all. And you've got the whole table to yourself. That's right. Because our pastor's wives are wearing pants. And maybe, you know, I know there's a bunch of great preachers here. And I'm already tagged now. I've said enough now that I'm tagged, that I'm about 40 years behind you all. I understand that. But this thing bothers me. It used to be that the life of the believer affected the sinner out there. But now they're in a comfort zone with us that are sitting in here. And so he's saying to us, beware. So I take it personal. I think he's talking to me. Beware of false prophets. Number one, we learn a few things, and I'm going to try to hurry and get through. But number one, we learn some things. Number one, they are deceitful in their presence. So here's what they say. The Lord said this in verse number 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So he emphasizes how they come to us. He emphasizes how their presence has appeared to us. He says they come to us in sheep's clothing. Well, you know, I like to study deep. So I was thinking about Little Red Riding Hood coming to visit Grandma. And you know what the wolf did? The wolf put on Granny's nightgown and crawled in the bed. Little Red Riding Hood came to see Granny. And she brought a little basket of goodies. And she came in and didn't recognize the wolf right away, but she said something about grandma's big ears and grandma's big eyes. And then when she recognized grandma's big teeth, the wolf jumps out of the bed and throws the garment off. What was the purpose of the garment? To try to deceive Little Red Riding Hood until the wolf could beckon her to come in. And so where they deceive us is how their presence is in our midst. They cover themselves with remarks about the King James Bible. And that's a good remark. That's good, because that's the only Bible there is. It's the King James Bible. But they've got a King James Bible. They've got a nice shirt and a clean haircut, and they all fixed up real good, and they come in, and the Bible says, he emphasized, which come to you. So I'm thinking, he's not talking about Joel Osteen, even though he's a false prophet. He's talking about those that have come to me. They come to me. I mean, they could be, it could be I missed God and accidentally invited a false prophet to preach a meeting at my church. And it could be that I've taken a meeting for a false prophet. It could be that we're going to camp meetings. Now, I like to check out camp meetings that I go to, because you don't know what you're getting into. And I checked out one. I got invited by the moderator just to visit the meeting. He said, I'll try to preach in the morning. And so I called a preacher friend in the area, and he said, well, it's a good meeting. He said, I preached there years ago. And I said, years ago? He said, yeah, several years ago. And I said, well, how come you hadn't been back since? And he said, well, I kind of had a rather pointed message I preached. And he said, I was shunned in the meeting. Well, I didn't want to go. If a man's being shunned in a meeting for preaching righteousness, I don't want to go to the meeting. You know, we are preachers of what? We're preachers of righteousness. Amen. Noah is a preacher of righteousness. If we can't preach the message, salvation, we're saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So our whole character is to be like him. We're to be righteous people. I don't know how to be that way. So he saved me one day, and he said, Ronnie, you'll never make it on your old Adamic nature. So he moved inside of me. And he said, Ronnie, you don't have it in your Adamic nature to even love me. So he shed his love abroad inside of my heart. And he put his love in me so that I could love him back. I resent the fact somebody calling me a legalist. I'm not trying to merit anything to get salvation. I've already been born again. And he's flung that love all in my heart. And he put slosh in me and make me love him and thank him for saving me. And I want to honor him. Yes, sir. It's obvious if you visit my church, I'm not doing very good building big crowds at my church. And that's not a prideful statement, because I can be honest with you, I'd love to have a big crowd. I'd love to have a big church and a bunch of people coming and seeing a lot of people get saved. So I'm not negative about that. But these men come into us. And all of this has to do on how we see them. So they're not just in the Methodist churches. They're in our churches. Number two, they're not only deceitful in their purpose, but they're deceitful in their person. He says, the Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they're deceitful in their person, who that they really are. Look at the latter part of verse number 15. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. Ye shall know them. So I take it by that we can know them. So he says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And he says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But an evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So the Bible says, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now I'm puzzled here. Why does a wolf want to get in with a sheep? Why would a wolf want to get in with a sheep? A wolf has no desire to be like a sheep. So they're not come in to be like us. They've come in to cover who they really are. That is their nature. And what they really are is a wolf nature. Wolves don't like to pick clover. They like to eat sheep. And so the purpose of the wolf is to come in and devour, scatter the flock, destroy the church. I've often thought I've heard of churches going through difficult times, and there'll be a handful in a church that's hindering the church. They're trying to get a good man of God, or they're trying to move forward in the walk of holiness, but there's a handful. And I said this to my wife recently. I said, I do not understand, with all the churches in the area, why that handful just can't leave that crowd alone, leave that church, and go down to the kind of church that they want. But that's not the purpose of a wolf. Because that destruction has already taken place in those other churches. Their purpose is to be there to make that church that's trying to go for God turn out to be like the other churches where they've already been. And so they're going to stay. You can't buy enough candy canes to pull them away. You can't do enough to get them out of there. They're there for a purpose. They have a wolf nature, and a wolf nature is there to destroy. Amen. Go with me, if you would, please, over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter number 2 and verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many and many shall follow their pernicious ways, destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of what? The way of truth. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now I'm going to tell you something. True salvation has the power to convert a sinner. Amen. Changes their life. When the Lord saved me, changed my life. Amen. That's right. He changed my heart. He changed my character. He changed my nature. He changed me on the inside first. I was raised in a Christian home. Give my testimony many times up here. I was raised in a Christian home, so I kind of had a little head start. I knew how a Christian ought to act. So when I got saved, let me tell you something. This is my story. Listen, before the Lord ever saved me, there's been about 2 years of conviction. But before he ever saved me, there was a want to working in my heart to get saved. And there was a want to be a Christian. Amen. I was already saved. You have to understand, I was 19 and I had hair back then. And I was already saved. I can't wait to get this long mess cut off one day. I was already saying, I can't wait until the Lord saves me and I get rid of this music. I was already in my heart wanting my friends and my family to be in that little white-sided church up yonder in the mountains. I had that want to. When the Lord saved me, peace came in. I didn't know all the details, but the Spirit of God moved inside. Amen. Listen, He placed me into the body of Christ, and my want to changed. I looked up at that man of God and said, he's a good man. I love him. I want to go hear him everywhere he's preaching. That's right. I looked around those people. I didn't say it publicly, but I thought, this is a good crowd. I'm glad to be a part of this crowd. That was on Sunday. On Monday, I headed for the barber shop. I got my hair cut. I started living for God. I threw that rock music out. I got rid of my hot rod. I started showing up at church. I don't understand somebody getting saved Sunday morning and can't come back Sunday night. That's right. You want me to bog it down? I don't. Listen, this is a pastor's church. I'm not getting in your field, preacher. But you've been having this meeting annually for several years. I don't understand a church member that knows their pastor's going to have this meeting annually every year and can't take a couple of days of vacation off to be here to support this meeting. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Do you feel like I'm getting in your territory? I don't mean to mind your business there, but it's right. I've got a want to live for God, amen, and be in the house of God. But I'm here to tell you, these false prophets are going to speak evil of the way of truth and righteousness, and they're affecting us. We're gun shy to say anything anymore. We're gun shy. We don't want to say anything. We're afraid to say anything. They're deceitful in their person. They are deceitful in their purpose. They're wolves. And they want to devour. And their purpose is to destroy. And then I want to say, number four, they are deceitful in their preaching. They're false prophets. Verse 22, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, this is talking about judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not done what? Have we not prophesied in thy name? There's going to be a lot of preachers standing there at the great white throne judgment. And they're going to reply. And they're going to say, have we not prophesied? Well, to prophesy is to convey a truth unto the people. That's right. I understand that they had a ministry of foretelling future events. We don't have that today, but we're still conveying a truth from God unto the people. So we have false prophets today. They're standing like they have a word from God, and they're deceitful in their preaching. So I've been listening to some things, Brother Raines. I just kind of listened because some things don't add up. I don't understand a man getting up and shucking corn like he's got spirit-filled unction and going to the golf course in a pair of shorts. I just don't understand that. And so I was talking to an 80-some-year-old preacher one time. And I asked him, preacher, I said, I've got this weird thought, and you correct me if I'm wrong. But is it possible to learn with some kind of a human talent about how to display unction when you're trying to preach? That's not really unction from the Spirit of God. And he said, oh, most definitely. You can learn how to foam at the mouth and loosen your tie and shed your coat and walk back and forth and go up and down, and now they've learned how to affect the emotions. I'm not against results. I just want the results to come from God. Have you ever noticed how many of these younger evangelists now have to put everything that they're doing on selfies and put it on Facebook about how great their ministries are and how many people they're seeing get saved? Don't walk away and say Jones is against people getting. If I was against people getting saved, I'd just fold my Bible up and go sit down and do what Brother Bryant said, go sell cars. But I never have been a salesman, so I just have to stand in the soup line. But I won't say something to you. I'm all about people getting saved. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there are false prophets that are preaching a salvation where you can keep living the life in the world and say that you're going to heaven when you die. And it's wrong. It's false preaching. Jesus warned this crowd. He warned this crowd. Let me see if I find it here. He warned this crowd in Matthew 16, verses 6 and verse number 12. Here's what he said. It's another beware. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, what does that mean? Beware of the leaven. Well, you know, I just thought leaven was something come in a little pack. And you just go down the store and buy it. But another preacher was preaching on this, and he helped me with the truth about this. In Bible days, when they were making bread, they would work up that dough, and they would pull off a little piece of that dough, and they'd go over here on the shelf somewhere. And they put up just a little pinch of that dough. Maybe put a little cloth over it and just leave it. And what it would do, it would start a rottening process called fermentation. And so when they made up the next dough for bread, they would go over here and they would need some leaven. So they'd take this little pinch of dough. And they bring it back over here and put this little bit of dough that's fermented and put it in this big lump. And they'd work it in and work it in. Do you know what that represents? It's just a little pinch from the old life. It's a little pinch from the past life. It's just a little pinch from what we were saved out of. That's right. Just take that little bit of pinch. Now, how can a little pinch affect a big lump? It would look like to me that the big lump would overpower the little pinch of fermented dough. It would look like there's so much more of the unleavened part that it would overpower. But the Lord said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I don't really know where we're at, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. They're deceitful in their preaching. They are deceitful. And by the way, I want to say one of the most deceitful messages you can preach is the silent message.
That's right.
Where you don't preach.
Tell it, preacher. Help.
I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Ronnie, I believe that. I just don't preach it much at my church, but I believe that right there. Why don't you preach it?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm a prime example. I'm the least of the least, but I want to just say, hey, we're to preach the whole counsel.
That's right.
I believe Brother Isaiah said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins.
Yes.
You know what a trumpet is? You don't have any problem distinguishing the sound of a trumpet. It's loud and it's clear. Stay away from that 40-inch television. It's full of hell. Do you need the Greek in that? That's right. Oh, preacher, I just like to watch those house remodeling programs.
Oh, brother.
You ever watch that? And notice that they're trying to remodel a house for a sodomite couple? Or two lesbians? Or a man and woman with different last names, and they're going to move in and live in? Every aspect of that filthy, and I know it's a glass tube. Somebody better pull me out again. I'm going to tell you. I know it's a glass tube. I know it's just circuits, but it's hooked to a cable that's hooked to a satellite somewhere that's streaming the domain of the prince and the power of the air that's pumping that filth and that mess into. And I'm here to tell you that's the way that we need to be preaching in this day. We need help. We need help. I'm not trying to make you like me, but I am trying to preach like Jesus preached. You read his ministry in that Bible, and you will never have a problem understanding what he's saying. They're deceitful in their preaching. They are deceitful in their power. They're deceitful in their power. Second Peter chapter number 2. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now listen, here's what he said. He said, John said, First John said in chapter 4 and verse number 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now I'm here to tell you, I had a preacher friend call me one time, and I answered the phone, and first thing out of his mouth, he said, are there not any preachers standing for God anymore? Well, he kind of rocked me, and I said, well, I think so. I think so. He said, well, I've been on Facebook. Mistake number one. And he named off these popular preachers that you and I are very familiar with. He said, they got a load of young people up there at the Smokies for a big youth meeting. He said, the preachers are getting off the van in their short shorts. I'm going to tell you something. One of those preachers, I kept a message that he preached on the cross. I thought it was great. But I thought, you know, if he's going to affect young people on a double standard, if he's going to say one thing here and another thing in his practical life, I'm tossing the CD. I'm not calling everybody a false prophet, but I'm here to tell you there's a reason why he said beware false prophets, because you're affiliating with them and they're going to affect you and they're going to put you on a guilt trip about standing for God and preaching righteousness and holiness. So they are empowered by a different kind of spirit. Look over in 2 Corinthians. I'm almost done. Just bear with me a minute. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 11. And here's what he says in verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 13. He says, and for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Balaam was a false prophet. And God wouldn't let him curse his people. But Balaam was a snake in the grass.
He said, I'll tell you what you can do. He said, you can take your Hebrew boys and introduce them to them heathen girls and let them intermarry. And it'll affect them and it'll turn their hearts away from Jehovah God and cause them to start committing idolatry. And then God will be offended at them and he'll pour out their wrath and judgment upon them. So what's happened to the old time power? There's only one that affects that, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Is it that we've offended God? If it's not going to happen by God, I don't want to learn the talent of trying to humanly make it look like it is an effect when it's not of God. So what we need to do, we need to beware of the message that is affecting us in our pulpits today. You see, listen, true salvation is of God. And it brings a sinner to a place of repentance, remorse, and sorrowful. Save me, is his heart's cry. And when the Spirit of God, comes and saves a sinner, his whole nature is changed. Amen. Just like the metamorphosis. I used to be an old worm that used to eat the bitter leaves of this world. But I died under powerful conviction and the preaching of the Word of God. And I cried, repent, I'm sorry. And I came forth out of that picture of that tomb and that casket. And I was saved by the grace of God. Didn't look anything like that worm. Now I didn't like inching my way along on the bitter herbs, but I could soar. And all the people could come and say, is that Brother Ronnie or what? And my diet is not bitterness, but it is the sweet nectar of the things of God. The prayer life and being around meetings like this and people like you all. And I love this honey taste about the things of God. I've been saved by the grace of God. But now we're being infiltrated with vulgarity. I get tired of sitting in a meeting and a lady drop a piece of sheet music and she bends over and you see her breast in the house of God. What an abomination. For a child of God, I don't think that ought to happen at Walmart, much less up in the pulpit. How do we expect the power of God when all the men in the church are watching the buttocks and the hips of a woman climbing in the choir loft? I am not trying, honestly, you don't know me, I'm not trying to be raw. I'm not a raw preacher, but I'm telling you, we're looking at it and somebody needs to cry out against it. It's raw. That's not what the Spirit of God does. People that say they're saved looking at porno. Swapping wives, shacking up. Very few of our young ladies coming out of a fundamental church deserve to wear a white wedding gown. They've given away their virtue. And we've grieved the Spirit of God. I've got to close. It's not my warning, it's God's. In this day, we better beware of false prophets. Amen. Say, who am I going to walk with? Walk with God. Amen. Who am I going to fellowship with? Fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Him. I can't remember what I preached here in the past. My little granddaughter, I can't remember if I shared it or not. My little granddaughter got saved a couple of years ago. I'm trying to think how old she is now. I think she's 12. I believe it was last year, my daughter was telling me, her name is Emily. She said, Emily, come to her and said, Mama. She said, I've kind of hit a place in my life. She said, I don't understand what I'm feeling, but she said, it ain't like I used to be last year. And so my daughter summed up and kind of sat down with her, and she said, Emily, she said, I'm sorry. She said, I guess we've just been so busy with things. And she said, sometimes when mama don't have time to spend with God, she said, I get that way in my heart. And Emily said, Mama, what do you do? And so my daughter got up and took her by the hand. And she said, come with Mama. And they got about 6.5 acres of mostly wooded property. And she took her and they went up on the side of the hill in the woods. And she said, Emily said, Mama, where are we going? She said, I'm going to show you. And Lisa pulled up a tree limb. And there was a cinder block. And she said, come under here, Emily. She said, Lisa sat down on that cinder block. And Emily was watching her. And she said, Emily, this is Mama's place. And Emily said, what you mean, Mama? She said, when I get all dry and crusty and things don't make sense, this is where Mama comes and spends time with my Lord. And she said, Emily lit up and she said, Mama, could I use your place? And Lisa stood up and she said, it could be mine and yours. And I found out in this mess of confusion and all this hell and raging that's going to go against the character of my Lord, it's just good to go up underneath a tree limb somewhere and sit down and remember what I used to be and what He's done for me. And as long as I've got breath, I hope the Lord will use me to frail against this lie that's being preached today. I know that when He saves a sinner, He can put a holy hatred inside of him against the things of this world and put a love for walking the ways of God. Amen.
Awfully, just bow your head. Can I tell you, I agree with this dear brother today 100%. We're just too worldly. We're too tainted. We've been hearers this morning. We've heard the truth. Would you be a doer if you need to? If you need to repent, if you need anything, I'll give you an opportunity while heads are bowed, just you and the Lord.